Welcome to the Matt Report, the number one WordPress business podcast. This isn't geek speak. It's about the journey of success and failure as a WordPress entrepreneur. Get ready. You're just an episode away from your next aha experience or big idea. And now your host, Matt.
Hey everybody, welcome back. Episode 57 of the Matt Report. Just really excited about this episode because it's a little bit different. I reached out to a gentleman named Ozzy Farman. He's the head of digital technology innovation at Weber Shandwick, a really large global agency PR firm. And what they've recently done is create a little plugin called WP for Glass, and that's WordPress for Google Glass. So this allows you to take photos, audio notations, and I'm sure in the future some video stuff. So I invited Ozzy on to tell us, you know, why he did this and what it means to his agency that he works for and his clients. And I also got into the business side of it. Of course, it wouldn't be a Matt Report without talking about the business side of WordPress. And, you know, the contracts that his company deals with they're in the millions, right? They're in either large, from what I can gather, medical companies or media companies or governments. So they secure some rather large contracts. You'll find out what it's like to sort of fly at that altitude and, you know, how we can get to maybe not that high of a contract, but a little bit higher. And Ozzy ran his own agency for a little while, so we're going to hear some of the tips and advice he has for us to reach that level. As always, loving the 5-star reviews that folks are leaving me over on iTunes. Really appreciate it. Keep them coming because it always helps. It kind of reassures everything that's going on. I recently recorded the second episode of the Matt Report WordPress Startup Challenge. If you don't know what that is, that's like a Shark Tank demo day kind of thing that I do with young WordPress startups. Get some judges on the show. They pitch their business, their idea. They get 2 minutes to do it. So definitely go to my site and check that out. Really, really fun stuff. I really, really do enjoy it. I've been saying Matt Report Pro will be coming soon, where we'll do some membership stuff where you can learn a little bit more about this stuff, sort of behind the scenes access to our guests, to myself, to each other, actually, and sort of get some folks together to help really build their business and accelerate to the next level. So excited about that. As always, mattreport.com/subscribe and join the newsletter. I'll email you all this awesome stuff when it comes out. I've been trying to blog every day. It is super challenging with everything else I've got going on, but it's also super therapeutic in a way. Get my thoughts off my chest and off my mind, and hopefully it helps you and, you know, furthers your WordPress career, agency, or business a little bit more. So without further ado, on to the show. Hey everybody, welcome back to the Matt Report. As always, I'm your host, Matt. It's been a while since I've done some video. Glad to have Ozzy Farman on the show. Ozzy, welcome to the show.
Thanks, Matt.
Recently, you launched a little plugin, little tiny plugin, for this little tiny product called Google Glass. Pretty amazing stuff, and that's what I want to chat about today. You're also running or leading the technology for a rather large agency out of New York, Weber Shandwick. Give folks sort of the 2-minute elevator pitch, who you are and what you do.
Sure thing. So I'm the head of digital technology innovation for Weber Shandwick. We are a global PR firm. And, you know, what we do basically is, from a public relations perspective, we really play in the communication space, right? So what that means specifically on the digital side of things is, you know, whether we are, working with our clients to manage their social channels, as well as doing the day-to-day communications, whether that's, running different social communities across their channels, or, content publishing, right, which is where WP for Glass comes in. A lot of times, and a lot of clients, and, you know, a lot of sort of large news organizations actually build their back ends on top of WordPress. And in some cases, it is something that's been, you know, highly customized, right? Because WordPress has such a large footprint, and you know this, that in some cases, you know, I think the way it's been explained to me by different people who I speak with is that, for example, they use the WordPress backend for all their, you know, article entry and asset management and everything. And then, you know, they've customized it. So on the front end side of things, you know, they might have it split out to, you know, millions of servers. In the case of, you know, I'm not 100% sure on this, but, you know, from my understanding, for example, Mashable uses WordPress as the back end, but they've really customized it. So, you know, when it comes down to page rendering and caching and stuff, they have all these other sorts of hooks, right?
Right.
Where WP for Glass comes in is a interesting proposition in the sense of there's a huge difference from a user experience standpoint, where if I'm, say, reporting on something, you know, I pull out my phone, you know, so I stand back a little, so it's kind of like, oh, I really want to take a picture of that. Okay, so let me pull out my phone, or if I have a DSLR, you know, let's get up close, let's take a couple shots, and then you have all this gear with you, so if you're in the field, you just have to, you know, edit it, you know, copy it over, send it back to your editorial team, especially when people are covering sort of live events, right?
Mm.
When we started playing around with Google Glass, the interesting thing here is that it's just a super quick interaction, right? And so actually what I'm doing now is I'm going to share this. I'm cycling through contacts here.
Yeah, for those of you just listening to the audio, Ozzy's actually, he has the Google Glass on. He's taking photos, I'd assume, of the screen, so he can either share that later or we'll connect and put that in the show notes.
Yeah, and so I've just taken a picture of that, and I've just shared it to my G+ page.
Awesome.
And so the cool thing there is that it's such a huge difference from when you know, pull your phone out, unlock the phone, take a picture, so on and so forth, that it becomes almost secondhand, right? You know, you just have these things on, quickly take a photo, you can speak captions, and just send it back to, in this case, your WordPress blog. Right?
Sure. The interesting thing, and just doing very, very 30,000-foot view research on your agency, on the agency, is pretty big contracts, right? From what I found, some multi-million-dollar contracts, some really big names that you folks work with. A lot of the folks in my audience, they're either just starting out running a WordPress business, either freelance, solo, then they've got aspirations of building an agency, or they're running maybe 5-6 person agency now, and they're looking to sort of elevate to that next step. What's interesting in the sort of the crowd that I listen to is some folks are hearing WordPress. We don't want to use WordPress. What is this WordPress stuff?
Right.
Right. But from a rather large PR agency, it sounds to me like you have, at least in the media space, clients who are saying, we want WordPress, and oh, by the way, if you can make us publish even faster to this thing called WordPress, we're all for it. Is that sort of, is WordPress sort of sought after when you get to that higher echelon, at least in the media space?
Yeah, I mean, I think yes and no. You know, a lot of times, what we do here from a technology standpoint is obviously we'll take into account what our clients' technology stack currently is, right? And in many cases, we have the ability to spin up a WordPress instance for, you know, let me back up a little.
Sure.
So from a 30,000-foot view here, you know, content publishing and you know, much like what you do, Matt, saying that, hey, you know what, telling the story of this is what I do, this is how I do it, is a really compelling way to reach people, right? And it adds a level of interest beyond saying, here is a, you know, interesting commercial that we, you know, put together. It might be funny, it might be emotional, it might be silly, to try to connect with people, right? But when you start to talk about what you do, there is that natural interest, there is that feeling of community that, you know, either you're learning, you're sharing a learned experience, or you're talking about something. And in what's great about WordPress, obviously, is it's the platform through which you can do that. Mm. And it's a platform through which, you know, it's easy as a entrepreneur who's running a business, who, you know, is running a WordPress-focused business, to get into that mode of, like, you know, let us help our clients become storytellers, right? And WordPress is a perfect tool for that, because it's very easy to use on the back end. There's, you know, huge amount of plugins out there, and you really have the ability to sort of spin up a WordPress instance. I mean, and I use this in relative terms, right? You can spin up a WordPress instance very quickly. Oftentimes, you know, the design, the, you know, we need to customize it to do that, can get a little hairy, but generally speaking, you know, it's an amazing platform, especially because it's open source, that you can, you know, customize and make your own modifications to it.
Yeah.
So to bring it back down closer to a client focus, what we do is, when we do run editorial campaigns and content programs for our clients, you know, what's more interesting to a consumer is that, for example, if you go to a large corporation's website and go to their newsroom, right, it shouldn't, in my mind, just be press releases. You know, press releases are, you know, part and parcel of what you need to do, but it's more compelling if, you know, for example, you are a, let's say you are a automobile manufacturer, and you can say, you can write a story saying, you know, rather than saying the story is, well, we just released a new transmission, you know, how about saying, well, here's an interview with the engineer who designed the transmission, and here's all the interesting things about it, right? That becomes more compelling. That becomes more interesting to someone, that they're actually reading a story and learning something, versus just, you know, here's a press release, here's the announcement, and here's what we've done. And so WordPress plays a great role in that, because a lot of the brands that we represent, you know, have an opportunity to talk more about just the product, but about how you can use it, how it integrates into your life, you know, whether that is, you know, appliances or automobiles,
right?
You know, there's always something you can talk about, and there's always something that consumers are interested in hearing about.
Yeah, you bring up a very interesting scenario, and one that I think really hits home to some of the folks in the audience. A lot of the folks listening to this, we love WordPress, right? We're like, WordPress, WordPress, WordPress.
Yeah.
Healthcare.gov, we could have done that on WordPress. You know, flying to the moon, we could do it on WordPress.
Exactly.
They're all about WordPress. And a lot of them will get lost in sort of the sales cycle, talking about WordPress. Like, we love this tool called WordPress. It's all about this thing called WordPress. And the customer's like, but how is it going to affect my business? How am I going to tell that story?
Exactly.
From your perspective, do you lead in with any of that technology, stuff, lingo, talk of WordPress? Do the clients ever say, hey, we're GM, we want to talk about our transmission, that's a great thing, how are we going to do it? And then do you lead in with, you're going to use this thing called WordPress? Or do you just stay away from that, and it's just part of the invoice, you don't even really talk about WordPress, they don't really care?
I mean, you know, I think where entrepreneurs have an ability to really kind of affect their clients' businesses is that if you just change up a little how you're talking about things. Obviously, the technology here is an important component. But, you know, if I think that most clients will, you know, they're IT teams who have to support things, right? would be more concerned about the technology side and the platforms that you are using. But, you know, at the end of the day, you know, you have to look at what is the purpose of spinning up a WordPress instance, right? You know, it's very easy to get into the mechanics of, well, you know, this is how we're going to do syndication. We customize the RSS feed. This is our editorial workflow. Here's the designs, the social plugins, and all those things. To a higher level client, what they are more interested in, from my experience, is the strategy behind it, right? So how does the communication strategy for what we, you know, a client is looking to do really tie into how you're going to execute that, right? And I think that is a necessary conversation that becomes part and parcel of, you know, the technology decisions that you make in spinning up a WordPress instance.
Yeah, that's definitely great advice, because, like you said, I mean, as technical founders, right, we love all this stuff, but the client wants to know what that strategy is going to be. One of the questions, and you kind of alluded to it before, mm-hmm. like you say, I want to spin up WordPress, and you kind of make it sound trivial, but you and I both know there's
trivial
blogs, and then there's, you know, blogs for General Motors or an automotive company, you know, mm-hmm. whatever. One of my questions is always to sort of the entrepreneurs, how do we elevate ourselves from that $500 client, right? The person who's sort of the mom and pop shop or the brick and mortar store who they're like, Google Glass, what the heck is that? Like, you right. know, they don't even know what that is. They just need a website. And these folks in the WordPress community are coming in to help them build a website, but they want to know how to elevate themselves to that from that 500 to the 5,000 to the 50,000 to the eventual 5 million. Mm-hmm. Any words of advice from the real low hanging fruit to bumping themselves up a little bit more? Is it focusing on that strategy? Is it a different pitch? What do you think it is?
You know, so before I came to Weber Shandwick, I ran my own agency. It was a small production shop doing digital work, and, you know, we would sometimes, you know, not in a trivial sense, but spin up a WordPress instance, right, for a client, whether it was for a website or whether it was for a, you know, editorial blog kind of a thing that was a smaller component of a larger site. And, you know, I think as an entrepreneur, you can kind of live in two worlds, right, in the kind of stuff that we do. You can either say, well, we're only going to focus in on being the best at the technology side of things, right, which is more of a, you know, we get asked by a client to build something. And so, you know, here's, in some cases, it's either, you know, if you're running a WordPress shop, in some cases it might be, well, here's a bunch of designs that a design team somewhere did, and we would like you to make it live, you know, make this live as a living, breathing thing, and make it work, and, you know, all that stuff. And I think that's where a lot of WordPress businesses will, you know, get started, right? Which really involves the mastery of, you know, of a couple things, of understanding what a client's intent is, and then saying, what's the technology solution behind it, right? I think where, you know, if someone is running a WordPress blog or a WordPress shop, right, I think where they can elevate the conversation is to say, well, we have a ton of experience in the actual build-out of stuff. And we can build out stuff and customize stuff in various different ways. We've done it for small shop, you know, for small projects, right, to really large projects, right. But I think where, you know, up and coming WordPress shops have the ability to change the conversation is to say, well, here's the strategy. Is answering the why, right? Helping someone understand why is it that we're going to do this, and also helping someone understand that as an expert in some, you know, who can build out the technology platform of things, I can also advise you on what is the strategy behind this, right? What is the intent of becoming a publishing operation and talking about your story? And then also, what is the art of storytelling? You know, why is it that as consumers, it becomes, for example, if you had a, here's a perfect example. So a bean-to-bar chocolate maker, right? Like a boutique chocolate maker somewhere, and they have a very interesting story to tell and stuff that's really engaging, you know? So like, here's the machines, and look, we just got the beans in, and we're going to roast them, and we're going to do all this stuff to it, and, you know, we're going to wrap them, and all this stuff you do. And so starting there, if a company like that came to you and said, well, we want to set up a blog, right? Like, that's kind of where some of these conversations start. But I think for WordPress shops, you have the ability to then say, well, why do you want a blog? Okay, and start to understand that on a very deep level for the client, and then you can involve a storytelling operation around it where WordPress becomes the conduit for all that. You know, and I think that's where you elevate yourself from just saying, you know, we're going to implement a certain technology, and in some cases maybe being seen as almost a commodity in that sense, where it's like, okay, well, I'm going to pay you X amount of dollars, and then you're going to just build this thing, and then we'll shake hands, and I'll send you a check, and we'll call it a day, right? But I think where WordPress shops have the ability to kind of expand is to say, well, you guys are really good at building and making chocolate bars. You know, we're really good at the tech side of things, but we can run the editorial for you,
mm-hmm.
right? And we can help you with that strategy on an ongoing basis. So it's not just a one-time transaction, or maybe it's, you know, you build something and a year later someone says, well, we need updates.
Mm, yeah.
Right? So I think it's a great way when you start to say, well, let us help you with the storytelling on an ongoing basis. That's where I think that's the differentiating factor between WordPress shops that are just sort of like, you know, we just need this thing built and, you know, please update once in a while, to really becoming a partner with your client and saying, you know, let's work on this together.
Yeah. I want to get back to Google Glass because I know we're running out of time, but I'm going to ask you the real hard question about this particular topic. You could say no comment.
Okay.
People listening to this might say, Ozzy, that sounds like a great idea. I think taking it from the storytelling and going back to the history, the values of the company and doing all this stuff all sounds great, but do they have the budget? Somebody comes to you, they say, we need a WordPress blog. Does your agency say, no problem, we start at $50,000? Is there a minimum fee to work with you and your agency? Or, you know, number one, the first hard question is, what is that number? Feel free to answer that or not.
Right.
And then would you take on a smaller client and sort of escalate them as they go?
Right. I actually don't work on sort of the budgetary side of things.
Okay.
Our account teams, you know, and our production teams have a good sense of setting those budgets up. So where my role comes in is more on the strategy side of things.
Gotcha.
And so to me, it's more of the kind of thing where, you know, we'll come in and say, hey, what's the right strategy for a particular client?
Gotcha.
So I don't really even have that information.
Sure. How many people in the agency? Employees?
We have this is probably going to be a rough number, but we have at least in New York, I think around 300 people.
Oh, okay. Very cool.
To
give the context, very large, and one would, well, very large in the sense of the WordPress world, right? Because Automattic, mm-hmm. I think, might be touching 300 folks, maybe 250 at this point. So definitely a larger agency that's sort of the audience listening to. So that's very cool. Let's get back to the techie side.
Okay.
Because folks tuning in, they want to hear a little bit more about the Google Glass stuff that you're doing.
Cool.
Do you have a client? that particularly wanted this? Was this a, you know, a brainchild of yours or the team's? Why did you do it?
So the reason why we put this together is there's actually a couple different reasons. In terms of experimenting with new technology and trying to understand where to apply it to our clients' businesses, that's very much what we do here. So we have a history of, putting out sort of services and products around, you know, what our client businesses entail, right, and what our role in those businesses are. So we have a practice called Media Co., which helps clients become media publishers, basically, you know, content publishers and stand up editorial programs. From a intent perspective, when, you know, we first got, when I first got Google Glass, I spent a lot of time as my part of my day-to-day thinking about what is next, but not from a sort of fluffy, drones are next or things like that, right?
That'd be awesome if you made a plugin to control drones from your WordPress site.
Yeah. But more from the context of, you know, what is something that can apply to our client's business, and what is something that, it might be a year out, right? It might be 2 years out, but, you know, what are some applications that we can start applying now, right? And so when you play with Google Glass, it becomes immediate from an understanding perspective. Like, you know, what you immediately understand when you play with Google Glass is that you can just publish stuff really quickly, right? And for me, it was just a natural connection of the dots between, well, I can just take a photo and just post it in real time. Well, we should be able to do this straight into our editorial operations. And, you know, what's great about the plugin is we set it up so you can actually set up default publish types with it. So you can either say, I'm going to publish this straight, or I'm going to publish it as a draft, or I'm going to publish it as pending, or, you know, it takes into account all the post types you've set up. So what's really cool is that you can just be, you know, boom, boom, boom. I've taken a couple photos or some video. Maybe I've set a voice caption to it, and I'm either launching it live out into the world, or it's in my drafts, and I can go back in and just edit it, add some context to it, and publish it that way.
Yeah, it is amazing. I don't want to say this the wrong way, but in our traveling pack of WordPressers, we see a lot of the same agencies, right? That are larger agencies doing some really cool things with WordPress. I've never met anybody from your team at a WordCamp or a WordPress meetup. Maybe they were there. Maybe they didn't say anything. Maybe you do attend it. I'm not really sure. But then all of a sudden, here comes your agency and builds this amazingly innovative plugin. Mm-hmm. So part of me says, awesome, thanks for doing that. The other part of me says, where are my other agency, WordPress agency buddies? Why aren't they building something like this? You know, the guys are always living, breathing, talking about this WordPress stuff. So it's pretty tremendous to see your firm kind of take the lead in that arena. Any future plans? What's next for the plugin?
There's always bug fixes, as you know. There's always minor bug fixes. Getting things set up. People with, largely differing WordPress installations can kind of install the plugin with some ease, right? Right now, if you want to get a little technical about it, there's a couple things. And what's great about it is that we open sourced it. And I think the day after we launched, I started getting a lot of commits, and someone had forked everything, and I was getting lots of merge requests. And I was like, wow, this is amazing. I'm getting all these merge requests. And what was interesting about it is that, you know, the merge requests were like, you know, reformatting into WordPress's guidelines, you know, in terms of the code guidelines, and, you know, really
those are the WordPress people I'm talking about right there.
Exactly. And really amazing suggestions for, hey, I noticed you're using curl when you go out to try to grab a video from Google servers. There is actually a WordPress command here that'll take into account whether or not you have curl installed or not, or wget, and figure out the best way to do that. Or suggestions for, hey, you're using the cron, but there's a lot of users who don't have access to the cron, so why don't you use WP cron? And it was awesome. And so when I was on GitHub, and you can grab the code from GitHub, checking it out, I realized that the contributor was someone who is a core contributor for WordPress itself, and they work at Automattic. Mm. So that's really awesome, yeah. Right? That's really awesome. And so I think from a roadmap perspective, those things really help, because when you have such a vibrant community around this stuff, you get input into all sorts of ideas and things that you hadn't necessarily considered. And in this case, his name is George Stefanis, and you know, it's awesome because he's got a 50,000 foot purview of, hey, here's all the kind of stuff you should consider. And because it's open source, you know, I can say like, oh, awesome, you know, this helps us develop our roadmap a little more.
Yeah.
So I think specifically to the plugin, there's a couple things that we're planning on implementing. Right now, when it creates a post, it sets the title for you with like the date and time of the post and the hashtag through Glass. So it was always on the roadmap to customize that, right? For people who aren't necessarily comfortable with getting into the code and saying, let me just change how this inserts a post, right? So there's stuff like that. There's integration with WP cron and giving people the option to say, I'm going to use WP cron instead of normal cron tab. There are some things, like I mentioned, changing out how, instead of using curl libraries, because not everyone's going to have them installed, to grab imagery and photos. And then there's a couple different things. Right now you can set defaults for whether a post is, a draft or published immediately. You can set the category for a specific post. So if I just want to have like a bunch of through Glass posts, I can just set things up there. But, I want to add the ability to sort of auto tag posts and provide users with the ability to kind of help them customize the stuff and integrate the stuff better in mm-hmm. the way they actually want to into WordPress, right? That's always really difficult. But, I think a few small feature, additions and some code cleanup will go a long way to, helping people standardize it and everything like that.
That's awesome. And that's what I mean about the WordPress community. It's just an amazing community just for that reason, right? I mean, people will reach out and start helping you, and that is tremendous stuff. It is tremendous that, for lack of a better word, somebody on the outside looking into WordPress might say, hey, here's this innovative thing I want to bring to the table, and that's awesome, and kudos to you, and then having the community embrace it and then say, here's how you can make it a little bit better, and we all start working together. It's the awesome part of WordPress.
Yeah.
That's why WordPress now powers, 20% or if not more by this point of the web. Ozzie, this is a tremendous interview, not only from the technical side about what you're doing with Google Glass and WordPress, but sort of the advice you gave to some of the entrepreneurs in the audience about, trying to elevate a little bit higher, trying to get to the next level. So I thank you for that. I'm going to give you, and we're running out of time, I'm going to give you a quarter of the lightning round, just a quarter.
Sure.
So welcome to the lightning round. What's your favorite plugin besides your own?
Oh, geez. I'm a big fan of... You totally stumped me now.
It's the pressures of the lightning round.
Hold on. Let me open up my install here. And
this is when I need like the Jeopardy music.
Yeah. I'm just logging in to my installation, and well, you know, the Hello Dolly plugin does wonders.
Yes, you are the first. You are the first to recommend that.
I forget the name of the plugin, but there is one that actually, when it comes, I can visually see the plugin site in my mind. I just can't remember the name of the plugin.
Gravity Forms, WP.
Yes, all of them. Gravity Forms.
There
thank
it is.
You.
There you go. There you go, Carl Hancock, the most famous WordPress plugin on the show.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Gravity Forms, just in terms of, especially when you're looking at a multi-site instance, being able to integrate that in. You know, I think it's awesome, and it's really seamless, especially when you start dealing with sort of difficult taxonomies that you want to try to account for and do different things with. You know, we run some internal WordPress blogs, which require, you know, tons of custom fields. Sometimes they require, you know, input forms and a simplified interface for people to enter and stuff. And so Gravity Forms was absolutely tremendously helpful there. Because before you know, I was asking around about it, you know, I was like, oh, this is a really hard problem to solve. It's going to require a lot of code. There's got to be a plugin for this.
There always is.
Yeah.
Real quick, do you have a favorite business book that folks should read? Reach out and read?
Oh, there is a great book. I forget. Actually, let me just look it up really quick. There's a great book that I always try to recommend to even some of my clients. It's called Little Bets by an author named Peter Sims. And it's called Little Bets, How Breakthrough Ideas Emerge from Small Discoveries. And it's just a very interesting take on kind of planning for and understanding the small things that can make a big impact. Mm. There's another book called Different, Escaping the Competitive Herd by an author named Young Mi Moon. It's a really interesting book that I think entrepreneurs can take a lot out of in terms of contextualizing what makes a company so different and why difference is actually important versus sort of trying to, you know, level out and become the same like everybody else. Mm. I think that's a great book for entrepreneurs to read.
Tremendous. And we will link those up in the show notes. Ozzy, thanks for taking the time. Tremendous
Matt,
stuff.
Thank you.
Where can folks find you on the web to say thanks?
You know, the best place right now is labs.webershanwick.com. You know, we are fairly active in terms of the comments and everything. You know, we're pretty responsive there. You can also find me on Twitter, twitter.com/OzFarman. That's basically it.
Awesome. Ozzy, thanks for taking the time. And folks, go find him out on the web. Say thanks. If you have Google Glass, check out the plugin. It's on GitHub. I'll also link that up in the show notes. Ozzy, thanks.
Matt, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.